I doubt that there's a single person in this room that has not seen this poster. The first time I saw it, I think, was probably in the 1980s, but it's been reproduced over and over and over again. And anytime you stop and go, say, to the Mall of America, you can probably go through one of those poster stores and you can still buy this today. You'll remember that Robert Fulghum wrote this and designed around the context of, "All I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten." Listen to what he said and see if you disagree with that. We go to school for a very long time. Most of us at least 12, you know, through the 12th grade. And so we go through 12 or 13 years of school. And then if you go on and get a master's, as many of you have in this room, then you end up with another maybe 2 years or so. And some of you even have doctorates in this room. And so that's another four, or in medical areas like some of you, that's even more than that. How much do we really need to know? Well, he said we don't need to know as much as we think we need to know. He said, share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some every day. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the plastic cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why. But we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice, even the little seed in the plastic cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember that the first thing that you learned in the book of Dick and Jane was the biggest word of all, look. Everything you need to know is in there somewhere. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation, ecology and politics and sane living. Think of what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk at 3 o'clock every afternoon and laid down with our blankets to take a nap. Oh, if I had a basic policy for our nation and other nations to always put things back where we found them and cleaned up our own messes. And it's still true, no matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it is best for you to hold hands and stick together. Well, words of wisdom that no doubt have much truth to them, but today I'd like us to think instead in terms of not so much what happens in kindergarten, but what happens in Vacation Bible School. All I really need to know, I learned in Vacation Bible School. The important things of life are the things that we teach your kids. Just in a week of time like what we're going to have here. They are the things that will matter not only for this life, but for eternity. And they're worth the investment that we bring to the kids' lives. You might ask the question, how important is Vacation Bible School? Is it important enough to put a bunch of plastic animals at the front of the church on Sunday morning? And goofy as it looks? Is it important enough to actually dedicate a sermon to the context or to the theme of Vacation Bible School? And maybe, perhaps, most of us think it's a little juvenile, and yeah, it's all right. I hope the kids like it, but it's really not for me. But really, quite honestly, whether we learn things in kindergarten or we learn things in Bible school, many of those things are the things that we need to be reminded of even as we become adults. And so the concepts and the things that we talk about in Bible school really do matter. In our own family of churches, during the summer of Vacation Bible School last year, 70,000 kids came to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That's pretty important, isn't it? 2.5 million kids attended Vacation Bible School across our churches. 155,000 plus prospects that were discovered, neighbors and friends that you could reach out to. And in fact, as Lifeway on their infographic says, there's 2.5 million valid reasons for us to have Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is probably the most evangelistic thing that's done in the church today. It reaches out into the lives not only of kids, but the adults and to their families as well. So why do Vacation Bible School? Because it really does make a difference in the lives of kids. Barnett's research is getting old now, but a number of years ago, about a decade ago, he said a person's moral foundations are pretty generally in place by the time they reach age 9. Age 9. We know that's true kind of when it comes to personality, do we not? But his research showed that it was also part of their moral makeup was set by the age of 9. In most cases, this is Barna again, barring a significant life-changing experience, people's spiritual beliefs are irrevocably formed when they are preteens. We begin to see the direction of their life and the attitude of their hearts develop even that young. Barna again says a person's response to the meaning and personal value of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is usually determined before a person reaches age 18. And the old expression literally does prove to be true in human circles. Particularly and most often, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Once the moral attitude and the direction of their life has been set, generally it will stay. Unless there is a significant impact in their life. So what we do with our kids during Vacation Bible School is important because it is an opportunity to influence their life and perhaps lead them toward Christ and toward a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this morning, everything that we ever needed to know, we learned in VBS. The first thing is that God wants to talk to me. You know, when we talk to kids about what God says, doesn't that sound like strange language? It does to me, honestly, that God would speak to us. And I think to our kids also, that very same thought goes through their mind. Well, I've never heard God talk. Well, when we begin to explore the concept of God speaking to us in Vacation Bible School or Sunday School or in our homes, the concept begins to impact them that God wants to talk to them primarily through the Bible. God speaks to us through the Bible. It is the only place that we can go and open it and know clearly that God has said these things and He's saying these things to us. A lot of whacked out stuff comes when people begin to say, well, God told me so. Immediately my radar goes up on that. Because it's usually followed by something crazy. What we begin in Bible school is to help people understand that God speaks to us through the Bible. And we teach kids songs like this. If you, most of you know this with me, not all. In fact, I'm finding that kids don't know these songs anymore. But we teach them songs like this. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Bible. You forgot the most important part to the little kids. These words, these songs, these ditties, my wife calls them earworms because I sing these kind of ditties at home and then she hates that because she hears it all day long after that. And then if she complains, I'll give her even a worse one and then it replaces it. But these songs, these things stick in the lives of our kids and they remember them way after the fact. And so, They are taught from the very beginning that God does speak to them, and God particularly speaks to them through the Bible. We see a number of passages in Scripture. We could look at a ton, but let's just look at a couple that will come up in Vacation Bible Schools, if not this year, at other times. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, woman of God, child of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so when we want to know what's right and what's wrong, we want to understand how to live our lives, we look to God's Word, because God will help us and guide us in that. Or basic Psalm 119, which the entire chapter is the most amazing thing on earth. And we in our English translations can't begin to touch. The Hebrew of it is there. Basically, you have the entire Hebrew alphabet. You want to know why Psalm 119 is so long? Because every section is designed around the first letter of the alphabet, the second letter of the alphabet, the third level of the alphabet. It is poetry to the extreme, like a fine watch. It is crafted to perfection. But its theme is the Word of God. And so when we look into Psalm 119, most of us will remember this verse. Your word I've hidden my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We read all of those things in Psalm 119. And so our kids begin to understand that God wants to speak to them, and he wants to speak to them through the word. Secondly, our kids need to understand, and they'll learn this in Bible school, that sin is bad. That sounds kind of strange. But we have to be careful with what we do. We have to be careful what our eyes see, what our ears hear, what our hands do, where our feet go. That can get us into serious trouble. And you already know the song. We can sing 17 verses of this if we want to. But these are the things that our kids learn in Bible school. Oh, be careful, little mouths, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouths, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouths, what you say. Those ditties, again, stick with them as we apply the Word of God speaking into their lives, and as they learn that sin has implications, that the things that we do matter. They influence our life, and they influence the direction of our lives. We're reminded on almost every Bible school I've ever seen will ultimately come around to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That what we earn in this life, in the things that we do wrong, is the penalty of death because of rebellion against God. But God is not satisfied with that. He gives us eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so as soon as God tells us we have a problem because of our sin, he provides a solution through the gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ. Sin has implications into our lives, and our kids need to understand that sin is serious. Sin separates us from God, and sinners need a Savior. And it happens so gradually in their lives that they barely understand what's taking place. A couple of weeks ago, you remember I told you that psychologists say that kids begin to lie about 2 years old. And by the time they're three, they're starting to get much better at it. And between 3 and 8, they get proficient at it. And after 8, you parents think you know when they're lying? You don't, because they're really good at it. Now, mind you, I said kids learn this. That means we learn this, too. And if you're honest, you'll admit it. That you can recognize that happened even in your own life, gradually seeing things and how far you can get away with it, how you can cover up your sin. But the reality is the sin bites us. It poisons us. And it separates us not only from a holy God, but it separates us from each other as well. And the reality is that sinners need a Savior. Sin is so serious that it separates us from God. And yet God, again, provided a way for us to find forgiveness of our sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. Simple stuff, theologically, but critically important for our kids to understand. Third, all I really needed to know, I learned in VBS, that Jesus loves me. You know it, so come on and join me with this. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. One of the most significant theologians of the 20th century was asked what summarizes the most important thing about theology. And his answer was this song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. When we teach our kids that Jesus loves them at Bible school, they begin to understand that if God thinks they're valuable, if God loves them, then they are worth something. And it's a message that most of our kids need to hear more often than we think they do. In fact, it's a message that you and I need to hear more often than we think we do. That we really do matter. and that Jesus does love us. And so when we gather our kids tonight and this week, and we teach them that Jesus loves them, they come to understand something that they need to understand for the rest of their lives, that God does care about who they are. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we loved God," because we're still trying to figure out even what that looks like, are we not? I love God is a really difficult thing to get my head around. Let's just be honest about it. It's tough, even for adults. "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us." And how do we know that He loved us? He sent His Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, if we unpack that this morning, there's so much there we don't have time to do that. But what our kids need to understand is that God would not allow our sin to separate us from Himself. He loved us so much that He found a way for us to have forgiveness of our sins. You see, God is a holy God and justice does matter. But God's love was equally as great. And at the cross, the collision of God's justice and His love met in His own Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could find forgiveness of our sins. Or in the words of what I tell the kids is, Jesus took our punishment on Himself out of love for us, so that we could have a relationship with God, so that our sins, no matter what our sins are, could be forgiven to us. Our kids desperately need to understand how much Jesus loved them, that He loved them enough to die for them and for the punishment of their sins. Almost every Bible school, again, almost the most popular verse of all time is John 3:16. And most of our kids, even in this room, I found it interesting, for some of you moms and dads here today, talking with the mission team that was here a couple of weeks ago, and they were amazed at how much your kids knew about Scripture and how many Scriptures they knew. But every child knows this, and when you look at it, it looks pretty tough, doesn't it? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life." That's a lot of words, and I grant you the fact that most 5, 6, 7 year olds probably don't have a clue what this means. But you know what? Over time, they begin to understand what it means. It's a concept that they can memorize easily, but only later in life does it really come to have any meaning at all. We're planting seeds so that they would understand how much God loves them and what God has done out of His love for them. Fourth, all I really need to know, I learned in VBS, that I should tell others about Jesus. Not only does Jesus love me, but I should tell others about Jesus. And this is the song that I used to really love to sing with my girls, because you get your finger up in the air. Come on, help me out, adults. Get your fingers up in the air, and you know, most of you know this song. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." And you know all the other verses that go with it. Now see, I can tell who's inhibited in our church by singing that song and who's not, because the inhibited hold it straight up. They're not gonna move that thing. It's too Pentecostal to get it moving around too far. And so we hold it straight. But our kids need to understand that as they experience the love of God in their lives, they need to share it with other people. That the gospel itself is good news. That what God has done for us in Christ is good news, and it should be shared with their friends and their neighbors. That song and the concept, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Now, the critical thing is letting your light shine is not about showing off. And letting your light shine is not about being judgmental toward other people. Letting your light shine is letting people see the glory of God through you in the forgiveness that He's provided in your own life. And so when we sing that song, we teach our kids. It's amazing to me that the first night or so of Bible school every year, we'll usually have a good group of kids, but by the second or third night, they'll bring a few friends along. When they find out they don't have to sit in church and listen to a preacher, a dull preacher the whole time, and they actually get to have fun and do some good stuff, they invite their friends and their neighbors and their kids. And they come, and they too can hear about Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians tells us that that's a role for all of us. When Paul writes, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we represent Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead with other people on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Find the same forgiveness that we found, the free gift that God provides. You see, our kids are natural at that. They find something good. They find the forgiveness of God. They find the love of God. They want to tell other people, what happened to us? It's been so long, we've forgotten that it's good news. And it's news that helps people who are struggling through life. Fifth and lastly, all I ever really needed to know, I learned in VBS, I should love others. We see this all the way through the Scriptures. We can look through the New Testament over and over and over again. And Jesus says, love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. That it's straightforward for us that we reflect the love of Christ that he has shown to us out to others. We can go to 1 John chapter 4 where I think we have the most comprehensive statement of that, talking about the love of God that goes through us and how you and I, if we claim to love our brother and hate him, that we've denied the faith, even John says there. It's incomprehensible for us who have received the forgiveness of God not to love the others around us. Now, you may not remember this song as well, but some of you will. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your love may be full. Some of you do remember it, and you sing it back around and around of it. But our kids learn the concept of love. The VBS teacher that cares about them, the VBS teacher that leans over and looks at their craft and sees the creativity that you might not even be able to recognize what in the world it is. But you see the fact that a child was pouring out their enthusiasm in that craft is an action of love, an investment of love in the life of a kid. Coming alongside of a kid that's sad or and encouraging them is an act of love. And the love that we show them during a week, an intense week like this, is the kind of love that will grow in them and will help them for the journey ahead. It's really God's commandment to us, is that we owe this to the people around us, that we would love them. Matthew 22:37-39, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment and most important commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, literally, when we went through the Ten Commandments, we talked, you can summarize, as Jesus says, the entire Old Testament law. Love God, love people, and you fulfilled the law, is what Jesus says. It is our, who's included in love your neighbor? Well, if you remember, he was questioned about that. The Pharisee came up and said, who's my neighbor? And the story of the Good Samaritan was what came out of that. The point was, is everybody is your neighbor. No matter who they are, no matter how bad you might think they are, how evil they might be, every one of them is your neighbor. And it is our requirement by God to love them. You see, when we think about Vacation Bible School and is it worth it, these are the things that our kids need to learn, and these literally are the things we need to be reminded of. That God wants to speak to us, and that he speaks to us through his word, the Bible. That sin is bad, that it has consequences that destroy our lives and poison us on the inside and hurt our relationship with God, destroy our relationship with God and with each other. That Jesus loves us enough to have died at the cross in our place. That we should tell others about Jesus, and we should love other people just as Jesus told us to. Those are things that we'll learn in VBS. When you and I begin to see what God has done in the lives of our children over a course of time, it is often amazing. I found this testimony. This is Casey McCall, pastor of students and discipleship at Ashland Avenue Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. He now, just in the last few months, now is pastor of another campus church that is there in that place. And this is his testimony here. He said, VBS saved my life. I don't necessarily remember if the theme was submerged or journey or fun in the jungle or something else. I don't remember what the decorations look like. I vaguely remember snack time, game time, and trying to memorize verses mainly to impress girls. What I do remember clearly is that my parents took me every summer and that sometimes I went more than once per summer with my cousins. VBS was a summer ritual in southern Alabama. I also remember that the very first verse I ever memorized was John 3:16, and probably a number of you could say that. In the King James Version of the Bible, and you notice I stumble around when it comes to all these translations because I grew up early King James, NIV, now I'm at Christian Standard Bible. I don't know what to say. You know, I you get the Leo paraphrase half the time. But he remembered, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I may not have understood the definition of begotten, and I'm sure he didn't, because most theologians can't either, including me, the full depths of what that means. But because of the labors of countless VBS workers, I grew up with gospel clarity. I grew up understanding that I was a sinner who deserved God's judgment, and that my only hope was believing in Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for eternal life. I wish I could say that I believed the gospel at that time in my life. I learned the verses and listened to the stories, but unfortunately, I didn't see any need for Christ at that time. More than a decade later, a lot had changed in my life. I had grown into a 20-year-old adult, and I was miserable. My rebellion had made me a miserable person. I was alone, hopeless, and afraid, mainly of myself. But I was finally needy and broken. I remember driving my car around Ross Clark Circle in Dotham, Alabama, and crying out to God for help. And it was at this point, the lowest point in my life, that a promise came flooding into my mind, the promise of God's love for sinners through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, John 3:16. For the first time in my life, that verse, memorized at Vacation Bible School so many years before and buried down in the recesses of my soul, became God's promise to me. I was one of the ones that God loved and had sent Jesus for. I believed the gospel, and my life dramatically changed. I like to tell my VBS story because it serves as an important theological reminder. We don't often get to see the fruit of our labors. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. Some of you are tempted to think that you're wasting your time when you serve at things like VBS. What good can this really be doing? These kids aren't listening to a thing, I say. That boy is as wild as a buck. Well, that boy was me. I was the crazy kid that probably looked like I wasn't getting a thing. But what I took away from the mundane investment of countless church workers ended up saving my life. Let's pray. Father, we are reminded that no matter how old we are or how smart we think we are, that the basic things that your word teaches us are critically important and true. Lord, may your spirit speak them into our lives fresh today, drive them home so that we would, again, as kids that are just learning, again, remember the vividness of how you've spoken to us. And how you want to reach out to us and draw us to yourself. Lord, in these next couple of days, as we have the opportunity to pour ourselves into the lives of kids, help us remember, Father, that your Spirit, through your Word, is here in this place. And you will impact the lives of little ones beyond anything that we could think or imagine. But Lord, don't let us fall into the pit of thinking that it's not for us. Because it is. So we invite you to draw us to yourself as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.